The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on the Still Just Fishing Show. Got Captain Chris. I don't know who wears two weeks in a row now.
Chris Hartman.
No, it's just, when I put these headphones on and started talking, it was like about to blow my ears off there. Whoever listens to this, you know, I guess yesterday or last night or whatever, they must be kind of deaf, man, because I tell you, that thing's turned up.
It was, yeah.
But anyway, we got Captain Chris Nichols here and Ted Hartman with us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
And got a few things to talk about this week. One of the things was the wind. I could not believe the wind this week. It was so weird. It was really nice Monday. Tuesday it blew 20 knots plus. Wednesday it was nice. Thursday it blew. Yesterday was nice. It's like really, I mean, just back and forth, you know. And I think it's got the fish kind of somewhat confused also, but, you know. Anyway, it's the way that wind was blowing. It was so weird how, it just come all of a sudden, turned northeast and just blew like crazy.
Yeah.
I had a man and a lady Tuesday, and she about froze to death, you know. That wind blowing that hard, and they finally just said, can we go in? You know, so, yeah, we just, you know, called it early and went in because she was just shivering so bad. I even went to a couple of places. I went way up Fitzpatrick Creek and got right up against some trees, and the sun was shining, and, you know, kind of got her warm. And I had to take off my jacket back in there. It was so warm, you know. But then you get in a place like that, it's, you know, if the fish don't come by, it just don't come by there, yeah. You know. So.
Well, she just underdressed right out of the gate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, see, Gail likes the cold, too. She does.
That's because she don't work in it. When people tell me that, I'm like, yeah, you're not out there 8 to 9 hours a day standing in it.
It'll wear you down
and not get out of it, you know. It's pretty tough like that whenever you're having to be in it all day, you know.
In the Navy, when we had to be out in it for 4 hours on watch,
yeah,
we'd pile up the Navy gives you some really good heavy wool clothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like they don't equip you properly. But it does not matter. After 4 hours of being in temperatures in the 40s, seems like no matter what you got on, the cold's going to creep on in there.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine. It was funny. He had a picture, of course, you know, back when this happened, we didn't have cell phones and stuff like this. This was back, you know, long time ago. But anyway, he was in the Navy. He was on watch one day and. Or one night, it was at night, and his nose was running and all that, you know, out there in the cold like that. And he was, you know, had him a rag. He was wiping his nose with. Said he went back inside when he got off watch, and he had wiped his mustache about half of it off. It was just frozen, and it just broke off.
Wow. Wow.
Icicles hanging from his
nose. Man.
They were somewhere up there. I think he told me it was something like 20 below or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was out there having to stand on watch.
You remember that year that we had all that snow and it iced over? Was that in the 80s?
Mm-hmm.
I worked at the Port Authority back then. I worked for Macmillan Blodell Building Materials. You talk about cold.
Mm.
I was working that day, and it was blowing, rainy. Off that water, it was just, I mean, it was cold, and then you're outside in it, too.
Yeah, see, that's...
Unloading lumber out of these boxcars.
Yeah. I have another friend of mine, he's like, boy, yeah, you know, I miss the cold, because he's from up north, and he said, I miss the cold, I like it when it's cold. I said, yeah, but you work inside. You get in the cold when you go out to get in your car, then you get in the cold when you go out and get in the office. Mm-hmm. Then you get in it when you go get back and get in your car, and then when you go back and get in your house. That's not like being out in it all day.
Don't they say, though, this it's damp here, so it really feels colder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you get further north, it's like dry cold.
Yeah, yeah, it's a whole different thing.
When we go out shrimping in Miami, when it was in the 50s and blowing on mm-hmm. that bridge, that's the coldest 50 degrees you'll ever feel is down in Miami, because you're not, first of all, you're not used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the clothing for it, and it just eats you right up.
Hey, Vic, did you run into any fog?
No.
Because it was like a glass that day you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was, the water was just as slick, and it was cold, so I was wondering if you had any. The other day had quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah, Friday, I think it was.
Out at your house, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah.
There's a low spot in the property behind me, and I guess it just kind of settles in there.
Yeah.
A little bit of ground fog. I kind of like it. It looks heavy, but I like it.
Yeah, as long as the fog's not too bad on the water, it's not too bad. But, you know, there's a lot of people like to run fast in the fog. I don't, you know, I like to stay closer to the shoreline and just kind of ease along and listen, you know. And I listen for other boats and start watching, you know. Because, I mean, it's amazing how people run fast in the fog. It really is.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. It amazed me. They thought it was funny. This one guy, I remember who he was, but I won't mention who he was. But you could not see to the end of the dock.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all hanging around. We're all tied up because we can't go anywhere. You know, you can't see nothing unless you had a radar. You weren't going anywhere. And he goes, "Well, I don't know what you all are worried about." And he goes, "Yeehaw!" Hammers down on the throttle and goes screaming out from the Mayport ramp.
Man,
right? I mean, zero. I'm talking dang near zero viz. I mean, you could not see from the ramp to the end of the dock. It was bad.
Yeah, no. I think a lot of people realize they can look on their GPS and see that they're in the channel or whatever, you know. But and a lot of times the GPS will show, you know, the channel markers,
mm-hmm.
but it's not going to show you another boat.
No, it's not
out there, and that's what's so dangerous to me. But you know, it was funny. One day I was leaving the boat ramp, and it was so foggy you couldn't see nothing. Well, the two people I was going to pick up was going to meet me at Mayport boat ramp, so because they lived down, you know, south on the beach there. So anyway, I come out. This is when I had my Carolina skiff. I come out and I'm like, okay, what I'm going to do is go straight across to the other shoreline, follow the shoreline up to the Mayport boat ramp, you know. So I'm easing along. I mean, like maybe 3 knots. I mean, I'm really going slow. And I get over there, you know, and I'm kind of looking, and I can barely see the trees. So I know, you know I'm good. And next thing I know, I hear traffic. I'm like, you know, maybe that's the road at, you know, that comes up by the Coast Guard station, you know, Mayport Road there, or not Mayport Road, but, you know, the A1A coming up toward the ferry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well, man, that sounds like a lot of traffic, you know. Next thing I know, the Wonderwood Bridge is right there above me. I'm going up the intercoastal. I'm like, oh, okay. So I turn around and go back to the river, you know.
Just a little outside.
And I'm following that bank up, you know, and I got just off to where I couldn't see the trees, and I could hear the ferry blowing, you know. So anyway, I pull out there, you know, and next thing I know, I'm going across a wake, and I'm like, I didn't hear a boat, but I was going across my own wake. I was just slightly turned enough to make a big circle, you know, and I was like, okay, just watch your compass. Don't watch the trees, you know, just watch your compass and go. And then I made it over there, but I mean, it'll throw you off.
It will.
Well, that's what's scary when you mention the boat. When you hear another boat, that's what's really scary when it's zero viz, because you have no idea bearing and speed, course, where they're going.
Yep. I know. It is scary. Anyway, give us a call if you like, 222-8255. Let us know what you're doing this week, and you know, we'll talk about what we've done this week, too. And get out there, and I'll also go over the weather here. Looks like the wind's going to blow tomorrow again. but we'll be back.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600. Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and looking at the weather here, we've got today south winds 10 to 15 knots, seas 2 to 4 feet at 10 seconds. Tonight's going to pick up south-southwest winds 15 to 20 knots, west after midnight, seas 3 to 5, occasional seas up to 6 feet, and in the water's choppy. Showers likely tomorrow. West northwest winds 15 to 20 knots, seas 3 to 5 feet, with occasional seas up to 6 feet, subsiding in the late afternoon to 2 to 3 feet in the late afternoon. Monday, west northwest winds 5 knots. That sounds like a great day there.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds doable.
That sounds like sheephead day.
Yeah, and Tuesday, let's see, if it might... if it calms down early enough Sunday afternoon, it might, because they're saying seas 2 to 3 feet on Monday, you know, because it takes a little while for it to calm down after the wind slows down, you know, out there. But, and then Tuesday east around 5 knots, and then Wednesday southeast 5 to 10 knots. No, southwest, I'm sorry, southwest. You know, so anyway, yeah, I was going to take some guys to the jetties tomorrow, but we might want to kind of revamp our plans here, looking at west northwest is a pretty good wind, but 15 to 20 knots, it's going to be a little iffy out there, you know.
That's stout, because there's not a whole lot to break it coming off of Huguenot there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to get on that north jetty side,
mm-hmm,
to even get out of any of it.
Well, and, being if it is more west-northwest, it won't be as rough as having a northeast. I was out there one day, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago or a week and a half ago, something like that. And we had a northeast wind. It was about 15 knots. But, you know, when that tide starts coming in, it actually came, you know, up and through the low spot of the rocks and stuff like that, the waves did. Mm-hmm. And it caused it like a washing machine on the inside right there, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to sheep dead fish like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever it starts going against the tide, wind and tide oppose, it's going to be a kind of a, you know, if there's any strength to it, it can be a real soup sandwich quickly. But
yeah, I know a friend of mine got on some sheep's head yesterday morning out there, and they did really good. Unfortunately, we didn't yesterday. I had Bill and myself was hunting for sheep's head, and we worked on the beans. It was a kind of a south breeze. We, you know, of course, when we got to the jetties, the breeze stopped out there. But in the creeks, it was so funny. In the creeks in the morning, it was slick as glass. I mean, you looked like you could see reds pushing everywhere. Mm-hmm. We only saw a couple because, you know, they're still lethargic from that drop, that water temperature drop. But
was it, you said slick?
Yeah.
No breeze?
Yeah, it was no breeze at all in the morning.
Oh, the gnats. Were the gnats taking advantage of it?
They were, yeah, they were out.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they were worse at the dock than they were, you know, out in the water.
Yeah,
you know, but they were out on, you know, on the water also, but yeah. I mean, we went and caught some reds, and you know, Bill caught one that was 31 inches and about 8 inches of water, and
wow,
we didn't even see that fish moving, and
he just sitting
crazy
there.
Yeah, I mean, when you do see them moving, it's almost like seeing mullet.
Yeah,
you know, like it looks so small, but it's moving slow.
Man, I figured
not like 30. That, not fast like mullet do. See,
yeah,
I figured he'd be throwing a pretty good submarine wake that size fish.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think he would be, and that's what I think make it difficult up here a little bit at times. I know Monday we went out, and I think it was Monday we got like nine reds. No, Monday we went croaker fishing. That's right. We got we got some real nice croakers, and
got a couple thousand of those. It looks like.
So when you get are the drum mixed in with?
Yeah, we got three drums.
Oh man, what a nice bonus!
Up to 6 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
didn't you get? That's when you got usually, the pompano, wasn't it?
No, we got
that was the
got
one after
pompano Thursday.
Yeah,
while we're sheephead fishing at Whiteshell Rocks.
I just when I look and, at your pictures, it's just coolers of fish.
Yeah.
What day did you catch those on?
Well, and I took a man and his daughter Tuesday, and that's when it was blowing. I mean, we tried to get out of the wind because she was pretty cold, and we tried to get out of the wind and tried to you know, hit some places that weren't, the wind wasn't blowing too bad on the water, you know, although we were in the wind, you know, because just trying to get, you know, along those edges where you could see something, or maybe, you know, have the fish kind of work an area better, you know. But anyway, we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Let's get Mike on this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Just wanted to tell you a couple things. First, up north, it's cold and damp, okay?
Yeah.
It's cold and damp. I'm from Baltimore and used to live on the,
oh, really?
Work on the water up there, and it's cold and damp.
Well, see,
I got two plants up in Maine right now, and I can tell you it's cold and damp.
See, and you're talking about being on the water, so that's, you know, kind of different than, like, when I was in Tennessee or in Virginia, you know, we'd go out there and mess around in the snow and stuff, and it didn't seem near as cold as it does here on the water, you know.
I'll tell you a quick story. I was a Boilermaker. And the coldest I've ever been in my life was January night, about 2 a.m. We're up on top of the plant, and I had to weld some plates on the boilers. We were finishing up an outage. It was raining, and wind was blowing off the bay there. I was taking a torch and heating up a beam next to us so we could huddle up next to it. They'd get that thing up. And we'd huddle up next to that thing for about 5-10 minutes, and then we go back to work. That was cold, brother.
Wow. I bet it was. Oh, yes. What temperatures were you running up there?
That, you know, honestly, that night it was probably in the upper 20s because it was that sleety, snowy.
Oh, yeah.
It was too cold to snow, and and too hot to rain. And, you know, it was just one of those miserable days where it was just on the edge of upper 20s, low 30s, but the wind was blowing about 20 or 30. And, I mean, it was just ice. You know, it was ice everywhere. And, like I said, I just took a torch and I'd heat a beam up, and then we'd huddle next to that for 5-10 minutes, and then we'd go back. It was just insane.
Mike, that's why my daddy got me out of there when I was a little baby. Yeah, I was born in Baltimore, too, and he's like, you know, in the Navy, he had gotten to station in Pensacola in Puerto Rico. He's like, when he got out and went back to Baltimore, he got me out of there right quick, and I thank him all the time for that.
Well,
I was raised in Miami.
It took me 50 years, so, but I'm safe now.
You in Jacksonville now?
I am, yeah, over in Fleming Island.
Awesome.
Yeah, I tell you, man, it's, you know, when you get close to that water up there, it's like we would be at my cousin's house up in Virginia, and, you know, it wouldn't be so bad. And then you go over by the James River and all, and it was cold. I mean, just that getting by the water, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know?
The humidity is what does it.
Yeah.
Once that air gets some water in it, and you put that cold and that wind just hitting you in the face, it just sucks.
No, it does. And it just goes right through you. It feels like, you know,
it does.
Bone chilling is a good phrase for that.
Because it burns your face.
Yeah.
Special kind of bite.
Yes, it burns your face. That, you're right about that.
Yeah, I had some customers.
Anyway.
I had some customers one time that wanted to get out there, you know, it was going to be like 32, 33 degrees when we leave the dock. I said, well, it's probably going to warm up to, you know, 50s or whatever. But we got out there, and it's one of the times where the wind picked up to like 25, 28 knots. I mean, and it was just, you couldn't turn your face into it, you know?
No.
I mean, you just had to keep the hood up and have your back turned to it the whole time. And then whenever I'd try to move the boat somewhere, you know, I was telling the guys, I said, that's kind of where I told you, you know, we should have rescheduled, you know. And the guy goes, so, where do you usually fish in weather like this? I said, on the couch.
You can't run on a plane.
No.
You can't. It'll eat you up.
Yeah.
You going fishing, yeah, Mike, today?
You turn Bill Dance on and you watch fishing. You don't fish in
there. There you go. Yeah.
Actually, no, I went yesterday, and I'll give you a little report, but I was with Tony Bozzella, so I can't be telling you where we were at, because that wouldn't be fair to him. But we were up on the north side up there back in those swamps, and we caught more trout than I could count. And I'm not, listen, if I told you I caught 10, that'd be way too few, and if I told you I caught 30, that'd be probably a couple too many, but we just killed the trout yesterday.
That's
Mike,
great.
How long did the bite last? We got on the trout real good recently, and but it was like a certain window at a certain point in the tide, they just got lockjaw and either moved on or just quit feeding. Did your bite last a long time?
We moved a couple spots, and I'd be lying to you if I told you it was a good solid 2 hours. I'm telling you, it was
no, that's two good. Hours yeah.
From about 8 o'clock until, let's see, low tide up there was 11:15 yesterday. We were probably 10, quarter after 10, still catching trout, and then then they started slacking off. Yeah, they got lockjaw, and then we went and found some redfish on a flat up there.
That sounds kind of familiar. Yeah.
It was a good day. It was a good day.
Awesome. They're fun, aren't they?
You on top waters, or was you, what kind of?
Gulp.
Gulp?
Sure. Gulp, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was. He brought along some. We had some live shrimp, and I said, "Look, I fish with him a lot." So I said, "Look, I want to try these. Just you hear all these advertisements."
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, they were just as good as the live ones.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, Gulp works really good. Yeah. I love to use it at times, and you know, it's just great. I like the smaller 3 inches than I do the 4 inches,
yep.
But. That's great that you had a great day. Tony's a good guy. That was great that you had a great time with him.
I hope you got some to bring home and put next to some grits.
Actually, we killed one of each, and it'll be dinner tonight.
There you go. Right. Yeah, baby.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Mike.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Mike.
Have a good one.
And 222-8255 is the number. Give us a call, and we'll be back after this. We'll be right back.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump says he does not expect to be impeached, claiming Democrats have absolutely nothing incriminating, despite days of public testimony by witnesses who said that the president withheld aid from Ukraine to press the country to investigate his political rivals. No indication, however, that there's evidence that that was his motivation, so a lot of it depends on who you're listening to. The Republicans say there was nothing impeachable in the president's actions, in fact, that he did nothing wrong at all. A U.S. judge has awarded $180 million to a reporter who was held by Iran. A U.S. federal judge awarding Washington Post journalist and his family nearly $180 million in their lawsuit against Iran over his captivity and torture while being held on internationally criticized espionage charges. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow up 109 points. This is SRN News.
Are you tired of paying the high price of your health care plan? Then you are going to love MediShare. MediShare is the Christian healthcare sharing ministry where hundreds of thousands of believers across America share each other's medical bills. For over 25 years, they've trusted in the MediShare model because it works. Over $2 billion have been shared by members, and they can help share yours too. But here's the best part. With MediShare, you'll be amazed at what you save. Up to $500 every month. That's like getting a $6,000 a year pay raise. You can join anytime, so why not call today? A really nice person is there to answer all your questions. Trust me, you're going to wonder why you didn't do it sooner.
Call 877-64-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, November 29th through Sunday, December 1st, it's Christmas Made in the South at the Prime Osborne Convention Center. Check online for daily show hours. Saturday, November 30th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, November 30th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
It's a simple truth. Everything's better with baby back ribs. Mondays, your wedding day, and any day, if we're being honest. So right now, for a limited time at Sonny's Barbecue, you can add a half rack of baby backs to any entree for just $5. Or go full rack with our signature baby back rib dinner. Served with two sides and bread for just $14.99. Sonny's Barbecue. Local pitmasters since 68.
Are you tired of pre-recorded financial shows that try to scare you into buying annuities and life insurance products? I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee. Together we host the Van Wee Financial Hour, live every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Van Wee Financial is a fee-only financial planning and asset management company here on Florida's First Coast.
We bring you current financial information and analysis without the scare tactics.
Most of all, we answer your financial and investing questions live on the air.
Tune into the Van Wee Financial Hour and call us every Saturday morning at 10 right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1 WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Mostly sunny days all week with highs into the middle 70s, looking for about a 60% chance of showers overnight. Cloudy skies, lows into the mid 15. And then mostly clear skies Tuesday night and partly cloudy Wednesday and Thursday night, lows into the middle 40s. Sunday and Monday night, looking for lows into the middle 50s. Continuing through the rest of the week.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And, but yeah, looking at some of this weather and some of the fish bites, I mean, we, you know, it's like we did good the other, you know, Monday, then didn't do good Tuesday, and then, you know, went out there Thursday, and you know, we've caught some black drum, and we caught, let's see, Thursday we caught 9 reds in the creeks, and then went out there to sheephead fish, and it got in a little rough Thursday because of the wind blowing and the waves started coming over the, you know, over and through the rocks, you know, because the tide's been so high, it hadn't been really low, you know, and it got lower yesterday than I've seen it in probably 3 weeks. It really did. I was liking it yesterday. I kind of really would have loved to just stay in the creeks yesterday, but instead we went to the Chetties to sheephead fish. But while we were sheephead fishing Thursday, we got a couple of nice drum, you know, got a pompano, you know, a couple of sheephead.
So you actually got to see the mud at the bottom of the grass?
In some areas, yep.
Because it's been high.
It's been high.
I mean, those pictures you sent. That was, that water was up there.
Yeah, that's, I wouldn't be driving my rig through there either.
Mm-mm. No, matter of fact, that was Monday. I'll tell you about that. Let's get Captain Chip Wing going in case he got a charter here this morning. He's not on hold yet. There we go. Okay. Morning, Chip.
Morning, Chip.
Morning.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
How's it going?
I'm doing great.
All right.
You sound like you're inside.
Yes, I am. Actually, yes, I am. I got to sleep in today till 6, so I was pretty happy with that. But
so you've been enjoying surf and turf since I know you went hunting, too.
No, I didn't. That was pretty funny, though. He was trying to figure out why you said something about dialing my gun in or something. But thanks to him, got my trolling motor back up and running again. But the trout bite's been on fire. It's amazing to me how good the trout bite is right now.
Yeah, did you hear that last call?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about. They got on a good bite of trout up north.
Yeah, yesterday morning.
I was catching them for like 2 hours straight.
Yeah, I had a charter. Can't remember which day it was this week, but I felt kind of bad about it because we had over 20 legal trout. Two of them were over 22 inches, several in the 16 to 18 inch range. And after, I guess it was 2/3 of the way through the charter, the bite was so strong, the guy said, "Hey, how big do they have to be to keep?" And I had let every one of them go. And we didn't catch another legal fish after that.
Oh, no.
So it was kind of funny, but
maybe he doesn't know how good they taste.
Yeah, I mean, the funny part is these fish are very, very healthy, big, fat fish. I mean, it was kind of nuts, but they wouldn't eat shrimp. We caught them on mud minnows on Papa Corks, and the that fish bite, dirty boxer, that curly tail.
Yeah.
That's been the key for me lately. That bait has just been phenomenal, whether it's on a jig head on the bottom or, you know, you can rig it with a mini brainer on a popping fork. So you hook it through the tip on a circle hook for clients that aren't used to setting the hook. Or you can just rig it on a jig head under a popping cork, and that thing is just unbelievable.
Which color are you favoring, or are
it's
they
a
favoring?
Whitish. The white color.
The white knuckle?
Is that what it is, white knuckle?
Yeah.
There's that one, and there's also the Patriot color.
Saw that.
In the swim bait. But, you know, it's weird because, you know, if you use the swim bait and you stretch it, you've got to wring it and stretch it, it becomes very pliable, and it works, the tail works really good on the swim bait, not the curly tail. Curly tail works fine out of the bag.
Yeah,
it does. Man.
That is incredible.
We were out fishing a couple of weeks ago, I guess it's been now. And, man, let me tell you, that tail, I couldn't believe. You just barely move it, and it wiggles. I mean, it just looks so natural, like it's swimming, you know?
Yeah, almost like it's alive.
That bait in the wintertime for fishing for reds that are laid up is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah,
because you can barely move it, and it gives you so much action that you can actually crawl it right to a fish.
No lie.
Without it being too aggressive, you know, and let them come over and thump it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's kind of funny that bait's been working so good for me that you know, I almost don't want to buy bait. I buy bait and end up throwing it back. It's like throwing money away when I'm not using the bait. But anyway, so that and the flounder are still around really thick. I haven't caught any really big ones, but that's another bait they love. Have you thrown a flounder yet?
No, I haven't.
When you even the small flounder, all you see is jig head. When you catch them, they inhale it, and that's a big bait.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and this isn't an advertisement for the bait, but you know how I am. If something works, I'm going to talk about it. So, but anyway, yeah, the water temperatures have dropped. Trout have fired off. There's still some nice drum around. You know, and I've been fishing the Beach Boulevard area and down south as well. So that bull red charter didn't happen the other day, Vic. I got out there and went to spot lock, and it didn't work. So
didn't have an anchor.
No, I didn't have one that would hold my like that. So I'm going to put a bigger one on for every time I go now with an anchor ball, just in case. But, you know, hopefully I'll have a 36-volt trolling motor set up on the boat next week and then roll with that. So,
he's supposed to rewire my boat Wednesday.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, I better get in there after that then.
Yeah.
I can't say enough about Matt. I got out there. It's one of those things. It just had to be reflashed. Something happened. That's one of the key things is to turn your troll, unplug your trolling motor when you're not using it, especially when you charge it, which I know to do. That's the biggest thing. If you have a breaker, turn the breaker off when you're charging your trolling motors. These trolling motors are very sensitive to that. But he flashed it, and it works fine. I'm like, can I get one of those flashers?
Let me tell you also what happened. This friend of mine came back. He was running errands, and he came back to his garage, and he sees this smoke going on.
Uh-huh.
Opens the door. The garage is full of smoke. His trolling motor is running full blast as hard as it can, sitting there in the garage, up in the locked position.
Oh, wow.
And, whenever you put it up and, you know, on your bow and lock it, you know, down, it turns off, you know. Well, this particular time, something happened, and Matt, I was talking to Matt about it because, you know, he went ahead and bought a Rodan. But anyway, this particular thing it does or whatever, by not turning a breaker off or unplugging it, that thing just about could have burned up his whole garage. I mean, if it would have, you know, it was running 90 to nothing and sitting up there in the lock position. And then, of course, you know, you don't run a trolling motor out of the water.
Yeah. You know? His garage is going to smell like burnt electronics for about 3 years.
Yeah. You got that right.
That's funny.
So that's another thing about, you know, either turning the breaker off, you know. I mean, I've turned my breaker off all the time. Charlie, you know, told me that years and years ago. He's like, you know, turn that breaker off because you got like a little, even though it's turned off, you got kind of a residual power or something that's, you know, going to it if you don't turn the breaker off or unplug it.
Yeah, well, the GPS system will run constantly when it's plugged in just to keep it locked in. So if you notice on your trolling motors, if you plug them in before you go out, they'll automatically stay up.
Yeah, the satellite light comes on, locks in.
Which means it's been, you know, it takes a while to come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, my GPS, I turn my GPS on the night before now and just let her sit up there and chat away so she's knows which end is up when you come out there in the morning.
I appreciate it, Chip.
All right, guys.
Put your number out there for everybody.
It's
614-4989. Give Captain Chip Lingo a call. And appreciate your call, Chip.
Thanks for calling, brother.
Yeah, good day, Chip.
See you.
And the number to call us here is 222-8255. Give us a call.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder. Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And I saw that Captain Jim Stuber put on a post on the Jacksonville Ramp Watch that the downtown boat ramp now is open again down there at, what they call that?
River City, next to the Acosta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's open now. It's been dredged out deeper, and it's, so it's better. So, anyway.
So your trailer drops off the edge now?
I don't think so, but
And hopefully,
also, I'm sorry.
Hopefully, they didn't find any more cars down there.
Yeah,
that's that place where people. The roadway just kind of goes right into the river.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, I used to work, when I was telling you, I used to work on the port there in mm-hmm. McMillan. They used to unload the cars there off the ships.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of times where the longshoremen had drove the car off into the river. It just went.
How did they do that?
I don't know.
Well, did you see that container? That container that went off the Dames Point, they just hauled it out of the river. It looked, I guess, I'm assuming it was recent because they showed the barge and the crane lifting it up out of the river.
Yeah, I think it's been about a month ago now, but yeah, something like that. But it stayed in there for like 9 months.
Was it out deep?
No, it was shallow.
Huh.
I mean, it was almost all of it sticking out of the water. You know.
Oh, okay. Was it over on the Mill south Cove. Side?
On it was Mill on, Cove well, it's side? On the north okay. north side of Mill Cove, but in you know, next to Quarantine Island.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's they're going to start pulling the cars out of that one freight that big ship
are they? In Brunswick,
Georgia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it said that the
be
boat,
a sale on cars now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know that boat is sunk into the dirt there.
Yeah,
they said probably 15 feet.
Mm.
It has sank into the dirt, the mud there.
Yeah,
there you go.
There's no flipping it back over.
I was fixing to tell you, it's mud.
Yeah, I mean it's you know they're just going to have to get in there and I think they had already said that they were going to dismantle it in place.
Yep, they got to get all those cars out of there.
That's just going to be unbelievable. Well. You know, if they're going to do that, it looks like they would just take the top of it
mm-hmm.
off.
The part that's sticking out of the water.
You know.
And then just lift just them out with
lift
a
them
crane
out.
Or something.
Yeah. I mean, that looks like it'd be the best way to do it. Just go ahead and start. Right. I mean.
They said there was like 4,000 cars in there?
4,200.
42.
That's what I heard. I never thought they would. That's a they lot could of get cars. 4,200 cars in there. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. You should see them yeah. when they bring them off those ships at the port.
Yeah, I would actually love to go inside one of those ships, one of those car haulers, just to see it. I mean, I've seen it on TV, you know, where they're pulling cars in and stuff, you know, just especially after this happened because it kind of showed what the inside of the ship looks like. But, I mean, myself, just I would love to be able to go on one just to look because see how many different levels you have in there, you know. And I'm guessing, I mean, the way the cars go in there, you know, I guess they go in there and then go up a ramp to go up different levels because, you know, there's only one ramp going into the ship itself. So, I mean, I'm just assuming how that would work.
But. There's a ramp, yeah. And they're steady coming out of there. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess they have to get them out at they got a certain amount of time to get them out of there. And those guys are flying.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good. They come out of there bolting out of that boat. They hit the parking spot, and then they're back in there, and they're just a steady stream
mm-hmm.
of those cars coming out of them.
That's why my neighbor used to make good money being a paint and body man. He would take care of all the dings and scratches after they get off the ship because, you know, they got to, like you said, they got to do them pretty quick. Yeah. So every once in a while they trade paint with another car a little bit, so.
they're pretty good. I mean, for if you was to sit there on the dock and watch them pull them off, you're surprised that there isn't more incidences than there is. Because they're flying, they're getting them cars off there quick.
Yeah. Except for the stick shifts, and they figure out, what do I do here?
Yeah, I used to. Well, the lumber is the same way. When they used to bring in those boats in there from Canada, and they'd yeah. have to unload them ships with that. And, I mean, they were stacking them up there. And those longshoremen would take them and pick them up and bring them over for us to move from one spot to another. And they were carrying them huge lumber, bundles of lumber.
Oh, wow.
Three or four bundles at a time. On these 24, 26,000 pound forklifts, mm-hmm. flying backwards because they couldn't see front forwards. They had too much stacked up in front of them, and they were just and they get it done.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you how that tree service went that you got there.
I got it somewhere.
Oh, it went excellent. Yeah, I was going to tell y'all.
I know when the ad comes back on, I'll get the number again. I had it. See, I used to have it in my phone, but, you know, when I lost my phone, I lost all those numbers.
Yeah, one of our advertisers, Durant's, I had them, I called them, and they came out, like, really quick to take care of grinding a stump down for me. I had a stump flush cut, and then I wanted to be rid of it completely. So I called Rachel over there at Durant's, and that's Durant's, D-U-R-A-N-C-E. And they're pretty close to me, too. I think they're over there in, or they were working near me over there in Arlington. And Chris come over with the most slick-looking, heavy-duty stump grinder I'd ever seen. He drove that thing off the trailer. It's all remote-controlled. It's GPS.
Those are neat.
It's sweet. I was like, he's got it on spot lock.
Yeah.
Comes right over to your stump, puts it on spot lock, and then before you know it, that stump is gone. So I want to give a shout-out to Chris and Rachel over there at Durant. They're really good folks, and they work real fast, very polite, and very quick people. And price was very reasonable, too. I was happy with that job.
I was kind of surprised that because you just talked to me about it, and then all of a sudden, you know, you sent me a picture showing it was done. I was like, wow. You know, because whenever I had called them, you know, I had a limb laying across my electric service coming from the JEA pole to my house.
Yeah.
And when I'd called them, you know, they sent some guys out there, and I mean, just excellent work. And my wife and daughter were standing out there, you know, watching them because, I mean, they're just so efficient at what they do. And they had this little, where it's at, where that limb was at, they couldn't get in there like with a bucket truck.
Mm-hmm.
But they had this little crawler thing that they remote control that they crawled off of a trailer and went over there, and then it lift them up, you know, to cut the limbs, and
it's really slick.
And, thing was on a track, so it didn't even, you know, it didn't tear up my grass or nothing, and it just, you know, lift them up there, and they cut the limbs down. And but I mean, you know, like say, you know, I don't know, I've worked in construction all my life before I started chartering, and you know, some of the language and stuff that people use around, you know, in your construction guys, you know, and all that. I mean, it's just a kind of a natural thing. But let me tell you, them guys were so polite to my wife and daughter. They were, I mean, they were just spot on, just great.
Yeah.
I can't say no more. Durant's Tree Service.
Yeah, it's 449-2848. They're on 277 North Boland Street, Jacksonville,
Florida. Yeah, that's it. 449-2848.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's 449-2848. Give them a call if you got any tree work need to be done. I'm telling you what, these guys are, you know, and it's like our ad says, don't let, you know, non-insured contractors on your property. You know, these guys are licensed and insured. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, if one of them gets hurt doing something that he's going to sue you or whatever. You know, you don't have to worry about all that. They're licensed and insured. And so professional, so quick. And Chris could tell you, I mean, they did that stump.
Very happy.
Yeah. Their rating is 4.8 out of 5.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty good.
It sure is.
I would give them a 5.
All right. Give us a call here, 222-8255. We'll be back.